Welkom to our program, Searching the Scriptures on Radio Pulpit. Dis ons gereelde program, Verstaan jy wat jy lees, hier op Radio Kansel. This morning it's my privilege to do the program with Jackie Barker. Jackie, hi, and thank you so much for being with us, taking the time during a very, very difficult program and schedule. It's great to have you on the program again.
Morning, Bram, and morning, listeners. It's absolutely lovely and such a privilege to be with you all, and I'm looking forward to today's program.
Right, and for those of you who heard the morning, that's when you listen. If you listen on a Friday morning at 8:30, or very early on a Sunday morning at 1 o'clock, or Sunday mornings at 9. If you happen to listen on a Friday evening at 9 o'clock, just ignore the good morning. We're in the habit of saying that. Jackie, let's get started straight away with the topic that you're going to touch on today.
So I've been thinking, Bram, about Sunday. Sunday is Father's Day here in South Africa. And so I thought we could look at a theme here of God as our Father. And as I was thinking through that, I became quite curious about Jesus' relationship with God as his Father. And what we could learn about it. So I did been doing a bit of a study around Jesus referring to God as Father. And in doing so, picked up on some really interesting insights that I'd love to share with the listeners today. And so we're kind of going to talk about that a bit generally at first, and then look at Jesus' baptism as an example where God shows up as Jesus' Father. And I just think it's a lovely example where he does that.
Jackie, in our program, we are very, very aware of the differences in context. And it's always very important to highlight that for our listeners, that within our context, we've really become used to the idea of calling God Father. But what was the context at the time when Jesus lived? Wasn't that a sort of a shocking statement for the Jews? And if so, why?
So it really was, and we forget this, you know, as you were saying, because we're so used to our context and the way we speak about God, we often forget and struggle to even imagine how different it was in those times. And the Hebrew scriptures normally depict God not as the father of individuals, but when they refer to him as father, which is very rare, let me just put that out there, it's very rare that they do, but when they do, they're kind of talking about him as a father to his people, Israel. So he's kind of like the father of the nation. And religious Jews especially were very, very aware of a gap between sort of a holy God and kind of sinful human beings who would never dared address God as Ab, which is the Hebrew name for father, or Abba, which we now know, which is the Aramaic word for daddy, which also kind of gradually came to mean sort of dear father. It was more than just a childish daddy, but kind of became an affectionate term for a father. I heard someone say it's a little bit like an adult child coming to their father and saying dad. It's an affectionate term, an affectionate way to address a father. And they would never have dared to do that because God was a holy God. And Jesus shocked the people of his time by referring to God as his father. And then not only referring to God as Father, but inviting his followers to do the same, to address God as Father. And what he takes it even a step further, because he doesn't depict God as a typical Middle Eastern patriarch who kind of wields this power within the family. But rather, and we see this primarily in stories like the prodigal son and stories like that, he depicts him primarily as a tender and compassionate father who extends grace to all people, sinners, self-righteous people, all kinds of people. The kind of father he portrays God as is a loving, caring, compassionate, involved father.
Jackie, I'd just like to come in there. I think the right English term is I have this bee in my bonnet about the name or the title of the prodigal son. Because actually those titles were added later. They weren't part of the original scriptures. And that, that title is totally, or heading is totally wrong, because the main focus in that is not the prodigal son, in Afrikaans die verlore seun. But the main theme is the graceful father, die genadige father. So just for the sake of our listeners to remember, those headings were added later and sometimes not very correct. And if you read that story again, and read it as the story of the graceful father, that'll make so much more sense.
So just an interesting thing there. I think it's Tim Keller. Please don't quote me if I'm wrong on that, but I think it was Tim Keller who actually wrote a book called The Prodigal God, because prodigal actually means lavish or excessive or, you know, and he turned the whole thing on his head going, what Jesus portrays here is actually a prodigal God who is lavish and excessive in his love and acceptance. And also turned the whole thing on its head. So I hear you'll be in your bonnet. It's completely appropriate.
Jackie, then it's so interesting to know that there are different words used for the father. Which different words does Jesus use?
So the most frequent term for father in the New Testament is the Greek word pater. Now, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but in fact, you know, the very first recorded words of Jesus spoken to his earthly parents are, didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?
Mm.
And there we see an example of this word pater, which is the common used word for father. What is really interesting is that Jesus almost exclusively refers to God as father in personal interactions and prayers. And in John's gospel alone, Jesus calls God his father 156 times.
Sure.
Huge amount. The expression Abba Pater, which we read in Mark 14, is found three times in the New Testament, all in prayer. And it's the form that Jesus used in his cry in Gethsemane, where he goes, Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. And then goes, yet not my will, but your will. And it's such an incredibly intimate, personal cry where he goes, it's almost going daddy God, daddy father. It conveys both the deep affection, as well as huge respect. And we find that only in these three instances where he talks to God in Gethsemane.
And then, not just Jesus, but other people as well. Any other names that are used for God?
So Jesus specifically, when speaking about God, he often used Theos. It's a common name, the common name for God. This is not when he's talking to God directly, but rather when he's talking about God or teaching about God, he'll use the word Theos. And at one point he calls him like the God of the heavens and the earth. But when he speaks to God directly, he almost exclusively uses Father.
Okay. Jackie, then when the word Theos is used, that is obviously the Greek. And would the more correct translation of Theos be God and not Father?
Yes.
And then also for the sake of our listeners, Theos, although Greek, something of it has remained in both Afrikaans and English when we speak of theology. Theos, God, theology, and in Afrikaans, Theos, Theologie, for the sake of our listeners to know where that comes from. Okay, but Jackie, on the cross, do we find different names there?
So this is really interesting. When I did this whole study of looking at how Jesus addressed God, he when he talks to him personally, he uses Father. When he teaches about him, he uses Theos or God. But on the cross, he uses the name Eli, which is a name referring to God as Most High, or even My God. And that's how most translators keep it, if you think of how it's translated in our scriptures. In fact, what's interesting, it gives it in the Aramaic and in the English, where it says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. And then it says, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Mm.
And I find it very telling that in that moment when Jesus is and feels separated from the Father, that is the moment that he changes from Father, because he's addressing God personally there. And in every other time he says, Father, Abba, Pater. And yet on the cross, he feels so disconnected that it becomes my God instead of Father. And I think that's very telling of the space that Jesus was in at that moment.
Yeah, not just interesting, but extremely intense. And extremely meaningful, the subtle difference there.
Yeah.
Right, Jackie, then I'd like us to move on to the reaction of the religious leaders, because obviously during Jesus's 3-year public ministry, he was constantly in conflict with the religious leaders, or probably better said the other way around, they were constantly in conflict with him. And part of this is his sort of audacity to refer to God as his father. Can you just tell us a little more about that, please?
Yeah, so Jesus referring to God as father was just, this was just never done before. As I say, we forget that because it's so common and so normalized for us almost, but this was just never done. Jesus was like, you know, the first to come in and do it. And in fact, you have to understand that the Jews were so in awe of God that they battled to even say his name, you know, the sacred name of Yahweh. You know, we even say that very casually, whereas for them, this name was too holy to even speak. And they had created rules about how many times you may say it or write it in order to keep it holy. They removed the vowels from it so that you wouldn't say it in accident. You know, they did all these sort of things to try and preserve the holiness of God's name. And there's, that could be a whole, and maybe we should do a radio program on just that, the name,
yes,
Yahweh at some point.
Yes.
So that whole thing is just fascinating. But if you get that idea that God's name was so holy, and then here comes this teacher, this country teacher, this rabbi, who is seemingly casual with God, you know, who refers to God as a father. And we see this come up several times in John 5. And I almost use that as our reading for today. But there's a fascinating conversation, and I encourage the listeners to go and read it, because it's really interesting when you look at it from the perspective of Jesus and Father. There's a conversation Jesus has with these religious leaders explaining his relationship with Father. And in verse 13, it says, "For this reason, they, being the religious leaders, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." And that for them was blasphemy. That was absolute blasphemy. That was not something that you could do. And so that is why they got so incredibly angry.
Jackie, I agree. The topic of, you know, not using God's name is a topic on its own. But just a simple comment, it refers to the third commandment. You know, you should not use the name of God in vain. You know, in Afrikaans, om God se naam nie ydelik te gebruik. And I'm just going to give one, refer the readers to one very, very interesting example of how the authors of the Old Testament got around this. They can just go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 4. There's a wonderful poem, verses 9 to 12, which says two are better than one. And in that wonderful poem, the poet does something very creative. He has a poem with a structure of two. And right through the poem, he says, two are better than one. And then he gives these four examples, two, 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 the structure. And then right in the closing sentence, he says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken, or not easily broken. A cord of three strands, referring to God by breaking the pattern of two without using the name of God directly, which is a wonderful example. But now, Jackie, let's say, why is all of this so important to us?
So the amazing thing about Jesus referring to God as Father is that he invited us to do the same. And in the prayer that he taught his disciples, we know this is the Lord's Prayer. He begins not with some grand, powerful, awe-inspiring God of creation, holy, you know. Instead, he just begins with a simple, Our Father. And so invites us into the same kind of relationship that he has with God. And because we hear this all the time, I think we forget how mind-blowing this is. You know, Jesus is inviting us into the kind of intimate relationship with the God of the universe so much so that we can call him Father. Mm. And within our own culture, even more intimately, we could call him Dad.
Mm.
And that's profound. That's absolutely mind blowing. And I think it's worth taking the time to think through that and what that means for us instead of just saying it easily, to recognize how beautiful it is that we're invited into that kind of relationship.
Then Jackie, you mentioned that another very special moment in this whole aspect of calling God Father was at the baptism of Jesus. Please take us there.
Sure. So I encountered a thought regarding what God says to Jesus in that moment, which I found absolutely profound. And so I wanted to share it with our listeners. So, Bram, if you want to read the story for us, it comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17.
Right. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
Thank you, Bram. So what stood out for me here, and I just for the first time realized how profound it was, are the words that God says to Jesus. You know, this is in many ways the inauguration. This is kind of the start of Jesus' ministry. And if you stop and think about it, and if you think of, you know, as a father, if your son was about to start some huge endeavor, and this is the greatest mission of all time, he's just about to start that, what would you say to him in that moment as he goes out? You know, it's a profound thing, and I love what God says here as Father, because I think there are three key elements. He says, you are my Son, number one. Number two, he says, whom I love. Mm-hmm. And then finally, he says, in you I am well pleased. Okay, so you are my Son, whom I love. In you I am well pleased. And three powerful statements that would then carry Jesus through his time as he ministered. And the first thing to say is I think it's a very intimate statement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people commentators argue that it was said for the purpose of those around him, kind of like a seal of approval. But we're never told the reaction of the crowd or even the reaction of John the Baptist, which I think is quite strange.
Mm.
Because, I mean, if you were attending a function and suddenly the booming voice of God speaks up, you know, you can imagine that being very disconcerting or terrifying or amazing, and yet nothing is said of it. There's no mention of anyone's reaction, which really interests me. So there are a couple of options there. Perhaps it wasn't heard by others.
Mm.
Perhaps only Jesus and John heard it. Or perhaps their reactions didn't matter because this was a statement specifically for Jesus.
Mm.
And I just think that's really interesting because I think this was a very personal, very intimate moment. And I'm going to take a brief moment and actually look at each of those statements because I think each one is important. You are my Son speaks to identity. This is who you are, you know, and Jesus goes and works for the next 3 years and holds onto this and even refers back to it a number of times. He knows who he is. You know, I and my Father are one. I only do what I see my Father doing. No one knows the Father except the Son. You know, we see the security in the desert as he faces these temptations. He has this absolute security. He doesn't need to prove himself. He doesn't need to throw himself off temples or turn, you know, Satan comes and says, if you are the Son of God. Jesus doesn't need to prove. He knows. He's got that deep security. And the one thing that I, you know, I think it's clearest is when he washes his disciples' feet. The passage says, Jesus, knowing who he was and was returning to the Father, took off his outer garment and put on the towel. There was a security in knowing who he was. So there's an element of identity. Whom I love is a sign of deep affection. Not only is Jesus secure in knowing who he was, but also knowing he was loved. And I think this is so important today. And people are constantly striving to be loved and to be accepted. We crave connection and affection. And in this moment, God the Father says, you are my son, whom I love. And again, it just enables Jesus to do his work without having to win people's love and affection because he has it from the Father. And then says, in you I am well pleased. And this speaks to approval. And I mean, how important is it to us to hear the words, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what you've done. And how profound is it that God is saying this to his son? I find that just amazing.
Yeah, Jackie, and I'd just like to stress again that these words, Jesus heard these words right at that point of the baptism. And you did mention it, but I'd like to just emphasize it again, that this was the beginning, the inauguration of his 3-year public ministry. And that makes it so extremely important. And you know, yes, there are many things that we wonder about. And it's true that in the Gospels, not everything that happened was recorded. But obviously that which was important, or which had meaning for our relationship with God, that is what was recorded. So I often, comfort myself by saying, even if I'm curious about these things and I wish I would have loved to have known, if it was that important, it would have been mentioned, you know. And if it's not, then try and focus on the main point. But Jackie, we still have a few minutes and therefore I'd like us just to draw a few lines through to the concept of Father's Day, but more so draw a few lines to the relationship between us as fathers and our children.
So Father's Day is very hard for many people for many reasons.
Yes.
You know, people who have lost fathers, people who have had bad fathers, people who have absent fathers. There's so many reasons why Father's Day is actually really hard. And Theo, that the listeners will know, often will speak about this when we talk about knowing God as Father and drawing the distinction that we don't look at our earthly fathers and go, okay, God is like that. Instead, we look at God first and we understand God is Father first. He is the perfect Father and we can look to him to understand what fathers can be like or should be like. And I think in the statement that he makes to Jesus, we see that so beautifully. We see how a father gives identity, how he gives affection, how he gives approval. And I just think that's so powerful. And so I think this Father's Day, we can do a few things. I think we can model ourselves after the perfect father. And I think that's true for fathers and mothers. We can realize the power that we have in offering identity and affection and approval to kids, and to those who we care for. And then finally to recognize that we are invited to have this perfect father, to have the kind of relationship with him where we can know his affection, where we can know his approval for ourselves and where we can get our identity from him rather than from the world. And that we could hear those words for ourselves because we are invited into that same kind of relationship. And I can just imagine how incredibly powerful it must be to hear God say to us, you know, you are my son, whom I love, in you I am well pleased. You are my daughter, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. And just the power of that, I think, can be an incredibly comforting thought for many people this Father's Day.
Jackie, thank you so much for a wonderful program, taking us through this very, very important aspect of God as Father. We just want to remind our listeners, if it happened that you tuned in late, or that you want to remind someone else to listen to the program, we have 3 repeats. The original program on a Friday morning at 8:30, a repeat on Friday evening at 9, another repeat on Sunday morning, 1 o'clock, and Sunday morning at 9. And we are actually working on the concept of having it available as a podcast as well. We'll keep you posted. Time for us to say goodbye from me, Bram Klopper, and then also from Jackie Barker.
God bless everyone. It's been lovely to be with you.
May you have a very blessed week.